Good morning. Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Kuf Gimel. We are the last two words of Kuf Beis Amud Beis. And the truth is, I think Howie, who's now on the call, he asked the question at the end of the last daf, and I answered it, but I answered it according to the Havamina of the Gemara, and sort of the Gemara is sort of going to ask, I think, what Howie asked at the end of the last year. We wanted to know, there's this debate about in the Gemara between a Braisa, which says that you could only, if there was like a string that was cut on Shabbos, so can you tie it with a bow or can you even do a full knot? And we want to say that it's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no difference between a knot and a bow, and therefore might as well do a knot, and there's no difference. And Rabbanan say, no, there is a difference, and therefore you should do a bow when you have to retie it. And the way I finished the shiur, and I think that's the assumption tomorrow at this point, is that Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold on to either position. You have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbanan, and then Rabbi Elazar, who holds machshirei mitzvah, you can do it even lechatchila, that you can, that it's not only if something rips, but even lechatchila, you're allowed to tie something if it's for machshirei mitzvah on Shabbos. So the Gemara though asks, and Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda aliba d'aman. So let's say Rabbi Yehuda holds like that aniva, that tying a bow is similar to tying a knot. So whom does Rabbi Yehuda follow? Now, so the Gemara rejects what I concluded at the end of yesterday's daf. The Gemara assumes that there aren't really three positions. There are only two positions. There's either Rabban or Rabbi Eliezer. So, like, which whom does Rabbi Yehuda hold regarding the position of Machshirei Mitzvah? Do they hold like the Rabbanan who hold that Machshirei Mitzvah do not override Shabbos? And or right, so you can't say you can. So the Gemara wants to say, "E aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, kamar afilu chatchila nami." So if they hold like, if Rabbi Yehuda holds like the Rabbi Eliezer, they can't hold like Rabbanan, because according to the Rabbanan, since Machshir Mitzvah doesn't override Shabbos, so then you wouldn't be allowed to retie the harp if the string broke on Shabbos, or retie the string in the harp if it broke on Shabbos. So it must refer to Rabbi Eliezer, and then he says afilu chatchila nami. So the Gemara sort of, I guess, takes Howie's position from yesterday and says that there can't be a third position, and so it doesn't make sense. Even if you say Rabbi Yehuda holds that tying a bow is like tying a knot, you still have to say, are we holding like Rabbanan or Rabbi Eliezer in the debate about Machshirei Mitzvah? And it can't be like either one of them. So therefore, the Gemara Ela Vada Ela Lo Kasha Ha Rabbi Shimon Ha Rabbanan. So really, this let's try to resolve the stira, the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, like that it's a debate between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. So the Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, Ben Levi She Nifsekah Lo Nima B'Kinor Kosra. So let's say that there is a Levi that the string of a harp was broke on Shabbos when they're bringing the korbanos. So you're allowed to tie it on Shabbos because Machshir Mitzvah overrides Shabbos. But if you wanted to, but if it nothing broke, no string broke, but you wanted to place this another string on the harp, and you wanted to tie another string, so this is Machshirei Mitzvah that you could have done on Erev Shabbos. So therefore, that does not override Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Onva, Rabbi Shimon says, you're not allowed to tie it, but you're allowed to make a bow, because Machshirei Mitzvah does not override Shabbos at all. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Af hi eda mashmas is a kol. And he says that, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that even if you tie a knot or a bow, the harp will not provide the proper sound, and therefore you'd be committing a sin, and you wouldn't really be fixing anything. Rather, you unwind the string from the lower knob and you wind it around the upper one, or you unwind it from the upper knob and you wind it around the lower one. So you tighten the string until it produces the proper note. So how does that answer the question? So we have this debate here between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon holds that you'll be allowed to make the bow because you can't tie it. It's never makshire mitzvah, and this position that lechatchil that b'di'evet makshire mitzvah that you could not have done before Shabbos, you can do on Shabbos. So that would be the Rabbanon in this brisa. V'ba'iseima havaha Rabbanon v'lokasha kan be'etzah kan be'netzad. Or you can say, you can answer the following. That both the Mishnah and the Braisa hold like the Rabbanon in our Braisa, in this Braisa we just said, that you're allowed to do Machshirei Mitzvah on Shabbos when it was impossible to do it beforehand. And the difference is that our Mishnah, when it says that you can tie it, that's when the string ripped in the middle of the harp, that you need to tie it very strongly. And a bow does not tie it very strongly. Therefore, they allow you to tie it with a knot. And the Braisa, which is you're only allowed to make a bow, that's talking about when it was ripped from the side. So therefore, you only need a weaker type of tie. And you only need aniva, you don't need kshira. Yibayseima, hava emtsa, marsavar gozrida, marsavar lo gozrida. Or you could say that both situations are occurred when the string ripped in the middle. And the Mishnah holds like the Rabbanon, the Braisa holds like Rabbi Shimon, and even Rabbi Shimon admits to the Rabbanon that Meikar Hadin, really, Makshir Mitzvah should override Shabbos when you cannot have done it from the day before. But Rabbi Shimon holds that we make a Gzeira in the middle because of the side. If we allow you to tie a knot when it rips in the middle, you're going to tie a knot when it rips on the side. And Rabbanon holds we would not make such Gzeira. So these are different ways to solve the contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah. So by the way, what emerges from here at the end of the day is that we actually do have three opinions. We have the Rabbanon, the debate between Rabbanon and Rabbi Lezer. We have sort of one opinion which says Makshir Mitzvah is never override Shabbos. That's one extreme. And the other extreme is Rabbi Lezer holds Makshir Mitzvah is always override Shabbos. And then we have the middle position that it only overrides Shabbos when you could not have done it before Shabbos. And that would be our case of the Mishnah. Okay, the next Mishnah is going to discuss differences between the Mikdash and the Medina, Mikdash and outside the Mikdash, when it comes to cutting out a blister or a wart on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Chotchin Yabelas Bamikdash, that let's say, because a wart, it temporarily passels, invalidates a Kohen from performing the Avoda. And it disqualifies, it passels an animal from being offered on the Mizbeach. So, but once the Yabelas, once the wart is removed, so then it's fine. So are you allowed to cut it off or not on Shabbos? So we said that you're allowed, the Mishnah says, Chotchin Yabelas B'Mikdash, you're allowed to cut it off. Avalo Bamdina. So you're allowed to cut it off because, again, this is only a shvus. Now, again, the Mefarshim say it's only talking about where you do it with your hand. So then it's not a melacha of gozeis midoraisa. So cutting out a wart would be a melacha of gozeis. But that's only when you do it in the normal way with a knife. But if you do it in an unusual way from how it's typically done, so that would be only an iser derabbanan. And therefore you're doing kilachriyat, the way Rashi understands it, and therefore be permitted in the mikdash to do it kilachriyat in an unusual manner. Avalovim dina, but you can't do it outside the mikdash because you can't violate an issur derabbanan. Ve'im bikli, and if you want to cut it with a kli, with a knife, kamikan aser, it's forbidden both in the mikdash and outside the mikdash because that would be an issur deraisa, which would not be permitted even in the mikdash, even for a mitzvah. So the Gemara now wants to bring a contradiction. Urminu. So we have a Mishnah Psachim, which is the following. Now let's say the 14th of Nisan fell out on Shabbos. So even though bringing the Korban, Pesach overrides Shabbos. Herkevo, the Havaso Michutz Tchum, the Chaticha Shabalto, Ein Dochim. So we said that bringing the, carrying the Korban Pesach on your shoulders, bringing it from outside the Tchum, so these are all forbidden on Shabbos. If you're doing it because you're carrying in a Rishus HaRabim, that's a, the Gemara is going to discuss whether this is a Derais or a Drabbanan, but this seems to be, this is Aser. And for our purposes, cutting off a wart would not override Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer, Omer Dochin, Rabbi Lezer says that it does override Shabbos, but the Stam Mishnah, the anonymous Mishnah, the first Mishnah, forbids you to do it. And here, the Stam Mishnah, our Mishnah, allows you to do it. So how do you resolve these two Mishnayos? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rav Chanina, Chanamar Havaha, Velecha, Velokasha, Kad Biyad, Kad Bikli. So we're both cases are talking about a moist wart. So it's not separate from the, when it's moist, it's still considered part of the body. And then if you cut it, it still gozes. And our Mishnah allows you to do it, that you did it with your hand, and the Mishnah would say it's forbidden that you did it with a knife. So our situation is an Issa Drabbanan, which is overridden at the Mikdash. And the other situation is where it's not in the Mikdash, but it's, where it's done with a knife, so that is forbidden. V'chad Amar, another way to resolve this contradiction. Hava Habiyad, both cases are talking about a Yad, where it's only written in Issa Drabbanan. Velokasha habalecha habayivesha. The Mishnah Psachim, where it says you cannot cut it, that's talking about where it's moist. And even though it's moist, and it's only in Issa Drabbanan, if it's moist, so that means it could have, I'm sorry, since it's moist, it's part of your body, and therefore, and you're doing it with your hands, it's only in Issa Drabbanan, but if this is a wart, presumably you had it the day before, and since you could have done it yesterday and you didn't do it, then you cannot override an Issa Drabbanan in the Mikdash. So he's adding a new chiddush to the leniency or limitation, to leniency of Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. It only applies if you could not have done it before Shabbos. Ha B'Yavesha. So our Mishnah, which allows you to do it, is talking about a dry wart. That's not considered part of the body, let's say, of the animal, and therefore it's not even an Issa Drabbanan. And therefore they allow you to do that for the purpose of bringing a korban, even when you could have done it the day before. Ask the Gemara, the Manda Amar, Habiyad Habakli, my time alo Amar, Habalech Habiyavesha. The Amora who says that the distinction is with the, are we talking about cutting with your hand or a knife? Why don't you give the distinction between whether it's a moist or dry wart? Amar Lach, Yavesha, Fila Bakli, Nami Shari. Because he would say that a dry wart would even be permitted with a knife, my time, ifruche ifarche, because what you're doing is you're simply crumbling it. You're simply crumbling it when you use it, and so therefore, it's like cutting off dead skin. So therefore, it's not considered part of your body. And what our Mishnah says that you cannot cut with a knife. So then obviously, our Mishnah says you cannot cut with a knife. So it cannot be talking about a dry wart, because if it was, you would be allowed to cut it with a knife. According to the second answer, the second Amora, who distinguishes between a moist and a dry wart, why don't you distinguish between a hand and a kli? He said, if you want to say, that the Mishnah Psachim is saying that it's forbidden if it's with a kli, why does the Mishnah Psachim need to tell us this? We already have our Mishnah, which says that with a kli it's forbidden. So the idach and the first answer will say, Hadiktari Hasa Mishum the Kabay Ifluge Rabbi Elaz Rabbanan. He's going to say that, yeah, the reason why you need to repeat the prohibition of cutting off a wart with a knife is because you want to bring the debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan, because Rabbi Elazar allows you to cut in any case, because he holds Makshir Mitzvah, override Shabbos, and that wasn't part of this Mishnah. The Idach, and the one who gave the second answer, who distinguished between the moist and the dry wound. So he didn't want to answer like the first answer, because even if you want to say that there you need the Mishnah to tell you about the position of Rabbi Eliezer, still you don't need to mention the Mishnah. You don't need to establish that Mishnah talking about a kli, the duya, the herkeva of avos mechutz tchum katani, that it should be similar to the other halachos that I learned with him. That what about putting the sheep on your shoulder or bringing it outside the tchum, which is an issur drabanan. So since cutting off a dry wound is also midrabanan, right. So in other words, it's similar to the other cases. The Tana is telling the case of the wart similar to the case of carrying the animal from outside the tchum or carrying it without an eruv, so that you can't do in an issur drabanan. So therefore, this halacha must not be referring to a case of an issur d'oraisa. If we're talking about, the Mishnah gives a whole bunch of cases, right, of things that you're doing that are wrong. So the case of cutting the wart has to be a case where you're cutting with your hand, because if it's cutting with a kli, then it's not similar to the other cases. The other case of bringing outside the tchum and carrying on your shoulder, these are all rabbinically forbidden. So therefore, the case of the cutting with the wart must be the case of rabbinically forbidden, and therefore must be a case of cutting it with your hand. The idach, and the one who gave the first answer would say the following word, herkevo, the lo, kurav nasan, damar chayin el seizatzvo. So he would say that the other two halachos are isuri daraisa, and so therefore, placing something on your shoulder is not like Rabbi Nasan. The animal on your shoulder is not like Rabbi Nasan, who holds that chayin el seizatzvo. Meaning what? If you carry a living creature, so then it sort of carries itself, and therefore it would not be an issur d'oraisa, but he would obviously hold that it would be an issur d'oraisa, and the havasa michutz l'tchum ki Rabbi Akiva d'amar tchum min d'oraisa. So in other words, if you hold that the case of psachim is talking about a case where you're cutting the wart off with a knife, and therefore it's an issur d'oraisa, so then you have to establish that the other two cases are also cases of issur d'oraisa, so you'd have to say that we're holding like the position that if you carry a live animal, then we reject the position of Chayin el seizatzvo, and also the case of carrying outside the tchum is like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that it's an issur d'oraisa. Okay, now the Mishnah is going to continue to try to prove that the Mishnah Psachim is dealing with Isuri d'Rabbanan, and therefore he's asking on the first opinion. Meisi Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kava Chomer. Rabbi Lezer says, Kavachomer, that I'm going to learn from taking the sheep and bringing it out to the tchum and cutting the wound. I'm going to learn from a Kavachomer that Shchita, which is forbidden minat Torah, based on a Malacha, that overrides Shabbos. These three items that are only forbidden based on an Issur d'Rabbanan, certainly they should override the Shabbos. So obviously what was pretty clear is that, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, the way he understands the Mishnah, right, the Mishnah is talking about that these things are Isurei Derabbanan. So we're rejecting that, we're rejecting the answer. You can't say that the case of the Mishnah Psachim is talking about with a Kli, which is an Issur D'oraisa, and our Mishnah is talking about Derabbanan, because Rabbi Eliezer clearly in the Mishnah, we have this brisa where Rabbi Eliezer clearly says that the Mishnah Psachim is talking about what? It's talking about that these are Isur Drabanan, so therefore it cannot be talking about cutting off a moist wart with a kli, but must be with a hand. So Ella Amar Rabbi Yosef. So we can give another answer to resolve the contradiction of the Mishnayos. Hava Habiyad, that both cases we're talking about using your hand, whereas an Isur Drabanan. Mishvus, B'mikdash, B'mikdash, Yitiru. Mishvus, B'mikdash, B'mdina, Lo Yitiru. So they only allowed Shvus Mikdash B'Mikdash, but not Shvus B'Medina. So what does that mean? That the Shvus that they allowed is only when you violate it, when you override it in the Mikdash itself. Like cutting a wart for korbanos sibor that are found in the mikdash at the time when you're checking them from a mum. But when you violate the shvus in the medina, like cutting the wound, the cutting the wart of a korban pesach that's in your house before the time of hakrava, so that the chachamim did not allow you to do that. So in other words, the case in our mishnah here is talking about you find the wart on, let's say, on the animal in the mikdash. So then they're going to allow you to cut off the wart. The case of the psachim is, let's say, you're about to take your animal to the mikdash, and it's Shabbos, and you find out it's in your house, and you find out that it has a wart. So that, you can't do that because you're not in the mikdash. The Gemara now brings two different questions on Rav Yosef's Chiddush, that Shvus, the mikdash, was not permitted outside the mikdash. Yosef Abaye became a little hashmaita. So Abaye sat and he said this teaching. Yosef Rav Safra Abaye, Rav Safra asked Abaye, "Hoya kore ba sefer al ha iskupa v'dis gagal sefer miyado." So let's say we saw in the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Zayin. Now let's say you're reading Divrei Torah in a scroll on Shabbos, and while it was on the threshold, and part of the sefer rolled out of your hand to Rishus Arabim, and you're holding the end of the sefer though in your hand, so Golo Etzon, you can roll it back to you based on the disgrace, so it shouldn't remain in Rishus Harabim. Okay, and that's not a violation. But wait a second, regarding the Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh, that it's comparable to Shvus B'Mikdash, that just like the rabbi said, that just like Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, there's no rabbinic prohibition in the Mikdash, so too, we're not going to make a Gezeira, just like we set aside an Issa D'Rabbanan for the Mikdash, we also set aside Issa D'Rabbanan when it comes to potential bizayon, disgrace, for Kisvei Kodesh. So here, but Velo goes, Rina Dilma Nafil Vasil Lesuye. We don't make a decree that maybe we'll fall to Rishus Rabim and bring it, and then you're going to carry it to the threshold. So what do we see here? We see that Shvus B'Mikdash is permitted even Bamdina. So since we don't make that Gezeira, so we're sort of comparing Kisvei Kodesh to Shvus B'Mikdash, and then we're saying that in the case where they're comparing it to Shvus B'Mikdash, so you're standing outside the Mikdash, and nevertheless, they let you roll it to you, and we're not making a Gezeira Drabada. So the Gemara says, that's not a good question. He said, yeah, wait a second. Didn't we establish that the case is where the threshold where you're standing is actually a karmelis, and there's a Rishus Rabim in front of you, and since there's not even a shvus, why? There's no Issa D'Rabbanan to begin with that we're setting aside here, because even if it would completely fall into the Rishus Rabim and you bring it back to the iskupa, that would only be an Issa D'Rabbanan to begin with. And now that it's holding onto your hand, it's even less than a shvus. So that's why they permitted it. So that's not a good question. Now there's a case, you say, why didn't they make a gzeira in that case? They make a gzeira because it would be like a gzeira like gzeira, because even if the sefer would fall to Rishus Rabim, then you carry it back to the iskupa, that would only be an Issa D'Rabbanan. And that's why, if you're still holding on to it, there's not a shvus, there's no prohibition to begin with. It has nothing to do with comparing it to shvus b'mikdash. So Eis Feis, Rav Safra is now going to ask another question of Yosef. Mishalshim es ha-pesach le-tanorim chashecha. So the halacha is that when you bring the korban pesach on Friday, and it's roasting on Friday night, so it's not like other meat that the Rabbanan did not allow you to leave it in the oven on Erev Shabbos, because maybe you're going to stoke the coals. You're allowed to do that with the Korban Pesach. V'hacha the Shvus the Mikdash b'Medina. But isn't this the case of Shvus the Mikdash in the Medina? Because the you need to roast the Korban Pesach for the mitzvah. So that's like that's a Shvus the Mikdash. That's a Mikdash. But so that's Tzorech Mikdash. But you're not, where are you roasting it? You're slaughtering the Korban in the Mikdash area. right? But where are you roasting it? You're roasting it in your homes in Yerushalayim. So that's a case of Mikdash by Medina. So why are we allowing you to roast the meat in your ovens, and we don't hold that your standard Gzeira Drabanan? Logotrin and Shemiyachtek Kolam, and we're not making Gzeira, then maybe you're going to soak the coals. So Ishtik, so Abaye was silent because he didn't have a good answer. He asked the Kavya of Yosef, Amrle Achel Marli Rav Safra, Amrle my time and lo Tishani Le, Chabur is reason him. So when he came to, when he came in front, when Abaye came before of Yosef, Abaye said to Rav Yosef, this is what Rav Safra said to me, and Rav Yosef said to him, why didn't you answer him the following? And said, yeah, you can't compare from the Korban Pesach case, because the reason why we don't make Xera is not because of this, because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, even B'Medina, but the reason is because you have a group of people who are gathering to do the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Since you always have a chabur, a group of people, they are zealous, and they will be there to warn you, to warn someone if someone thinks that he's going to stoke the coals. Normally speaking, if you're by yourself in your house, so you can't put food into the oven, let's say when it's not third cooked or half cooked, kamacha ben drusai, because we're afraid that you're going to stoke the coals. That's when you're an individual. But here, by Korban Pesach, we allow you, not because of any shvus b'mikdash halacha, but simply because there's a group of people, and they're going to be vigilant to make sure that you don't violate any prohibition. V'abaye, Korban's reason, Haim Amrinan, but Echabor Zun Haim Lo Amrinan. Abaye did not give that answer because he felt, yeah, when it comes to Kohanim, then they're vigilant, and they're going to make sure that the reason why we would not prohibit it in the Mikdash is because you have a whole bunch of Kohanim who are there, and they're going to make sure that no one, you know, what's the purpose of a Drabbanon? We don't allow you we make an Issa Drabbanon so you don't violate an Issa Doraiso. So why is it not a problem in the Mikdash? Because they're Kohanim in the Mikdash, and they're going to be vigilant to make sure that no one violates a Nisad Raisa. But people of a group, of a Chabura, they're not necessarily vigilant. Rav Amar, Rav says, he's going to give another answer to resolve the contradiction of the two Mishnayos. One with the one where it says you can cut off a wart on Shabbos, one where it says you cannot. So he says, Rabbi, our Mishnah, which allows you to cut it off, is Rabbi Lazar Hita Amar Machshir Mitzvah Dolkin as a Shabbos. So our Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar, who says that Machshiri Mitzvah, the preparation for Mitzvah, overrides the Shabbos. So then why are you not allowed to cut it with a kli? If according to Rabbi Lazar, it's Machshiri Mitzvah. Moder Rabbi Lazar, the Kamadesh L'Shinim Meshaninan, Rabbi Lazar will admit that even in a scenario where you are allowed to override a prohibition for the purpose of a Mitzvah, wherever you can change it, create a change, a shinoi, and minimize the prohibition, you can minimize it. This may relate to the famous question whether certain things are hutra or dechuya. Whenever we allow you to do something, do we say, it's hutra, that the prohibition doesn't apply at all? You can do it however you want, whether with a hand or with a kli. Or do we say, no, it's dechuya. We simply override the prohibition, but we limit the leniency for as limited as possible. So in other words, you try to minimize the prohibition. So it's better if you can, Rabbi Lazar say, yeah, it would override it. But if you could do it better with the hand, so it's only, you're only overriding Issur Rabbanan, better that than overriding an Issur Doraisa. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Mahi, where do we find this position of Rabbi Eliezer, that if you could make a shinoi by Machshir Mitzvah, you should do that? The Tanya. We have a brisa which is the following: Koich also bo yabeles chaver chotul lo b'shinov. So the brisa says that let's say a kohen that he got a wart and he needs to do the avodah in the mikdash, and as long as the wart's not removed, he's a balmum, and as a balmum, he's not fit to do the avodah, the service of the mikdash. Chavero chotul lo b'shinov. So his friend can cut his wart with his teeth on Shabbos, so that he can do the avoda. So the Gemara wants to infer from the price of the following: Bishit avid bichlilo. Then only with your teeth you're allowed to cut the wart, but you cannot cut the wart with a kli. Chaveiro id, your friend could do it. Ihu lo, but he himself shouldn't do it, even without a shinoi. So we see that you try to minimize it according to this brisa, when at all possible. But now we try to figure out, Mani, who is this, the author of this brisa, who says that you cannot cut with a kli, or and with himself, even with his teeth. So, Ilema Rabbanon Bamikdash, if you want to say, this is the Rabbanon who argue on Rabbi Eliezer. And they hold that Makshiri Mitzvah, do not override Shabbos. And we're talking about for the Mikdash. So then it's difficult. Why? K.W. Rabbanon Ba'alma Mishum Shvus Hacha Malihu Mali Chaveiro. According to the Rabbanon, that if you cut it with your hands or with your teeth, it's only a shvus, only rabbinic prohibition. Here in the Mikdash, when they allow shvus, why should it be a difference between you or your friend? Like, in other words, it's still a shvus. And why is it only allowed based on your friend, if your friend does it? In other words, this brisa requires two things. It requires, number one, to do it in an indirect manner, and number two, it requires your friend to do that. That doesn't seem to be the position of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon who argue with Rabbi Elazar, who hold the Makshiri Mitzvah, do not override Shabbos, they would say, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Once you knock it down to the Rabbanon, it's permitted. So, but you wouldn't need your friend to do it. So the Rabbanon cannot be the author of the brisa that we just said. Elalav Rabbi Elazar, he is so Rabbi Elazar, so must be Rabbi Elazar. Damar Baal Machayev Chazus would say normally that if you cut with your hands or with your teeth, you still are it still is a chi of chatas. Notice he would hold that even if you do it, the method is unusual, but since the result is, I would say not that. Since that you're fixing, when you remove the ward, even with your teeth or your head, that still is a complete fixing. And he would say that basically he's rejecting this premise that people don't typically remove it with their hand. He's saying people do. However, if your friend cuts it, not with a kli, so then he would say that your friend doesn't fix it well, so that would be permitted. V'hacha, but here where the Kohen got a ward and he wants to do an avodah in the Mikdash, so they would admit that your friend should cut with his teeth, because then there's only a shvus, and the person himself who has the ward should not do it himself, because that's an issur d'oraisa. Afogav the machshir mitzvah doche es Shabbos kavad efshar l'shinah mishaninan. So even though he holds a machshir mitzvah doche Shabbos, override Shabbos, however much you can change it, you should change it. So this would be the support that he would say that your friend should do it and also do it in an indirect manner. So the Gemara rejects that proof. The Gemara says lo la olam rabbana. Now really that. Rabbi Elazar holds Machshir Mitzvah override Shabbos, even when you can do it b'shinui, and according to him, a coin can cut it off even with a kli, and the brisa which only allows your friend to cut it with his teeth is like the opinion of the Rabbanon, who hold the Machshir Mitzvah do not override Shabbos with an issur d'oraisa, v'i olsa b'kreiso. And so that if that's the case, so why are you not allowed to cut it off yourself? According to the Rabbanon, if you're cutting it with your teeth, so that's a shvus, it should be permitted. So he says that if the wart would have arisen, let's say, in your stomach, in a place where you yourself could remove it, so hachadabi, we would say you can do it yourself. But hachabayaskidad, so we're just talking about a case where the wart formed in your back or your elbow in a way where you cannot remove it with your head or with your teeth. And since you can only remove it, and since they only allow you to remove it with your hand and your teeth in an indirect way, so therefore they would say in this case, don't use a knife yourself, but because that's a normal way, but have your friend do it. Have your friend do it. So then it would be an issur d'rabbanan and ein shvus b'mikdash. And the Gemara wants the proof from our brisa is Rabbi Elazar not the Rabbanon? So they want to say the following. The Gemara asks, V'i Rabbanon, but wait a second. If we want to say that the Braisa is like the Rabbanon, and therefore you're not permitted to remove the wart with a kli, because it's Nisr Doraisa, and they do not allow Machshiri Mitzvah in the they do not allow, Machshiri Mitzvah when it's a Doraisa in the Mikdash. So the so in that case, it's still a question. Nishkale Nihale Biyad. So you should, the Mishnah should tell us that your friend should be allowed to remove the wart even with your hand. Because, right? Because why? Because not, and then you would learn two halachos. Number one, the Machshir Mitzvah overrides a Shvus and not a Doraisa. And the Rabbanan agree that cutting a wart with a kli is a Doraisa, and therefore they only allowed it with your hands, with your hands. V'tivshot, the Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, machlokes biyad, avo b'kli divrei hakol chayat. And you can also, it'd also be good to read the Mishnah like that, because then you would say that Rabbi Elazar is correct, because Rabbi Elazar says that the debate between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanon, when you remove, let's say, you cut off, let's say, a dangling fingernail or also a wart, whether it's deraisa or drabanan, that's only when you cut it with your hand. But if you cut it with your kli, everyone holds your chayef. So in other words, now that the braisa only allows you to, when the braisa mentioned in an indirect fashion, he mentions that you can only cut with your teeth and not your hand, so you can't prove that cutting with your hand is good, is considered indirect. So therefore, you have to, so therefore, now if it was Rabbanon, then it would be better if it really held the Rabbanon, that your whole goal is simply to say that if it's indirect, it's permitted, then it should say that what? It should say, it should have given the case of cutting with your hand as opposed to with your teeth. Once we're mentioning that the case is that we're only allowing you to cut with your teeth, so therefore what? So therefore it must be referring to Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that even though Machshir Mitzvah overrides the Nisr D'oraisa, you should change it as much as possible, and therefore with your teeth is better than with your hand, because that's more of a shinoi than with your hand. But now the Gemara wants to clarify why this is not, why now we're rejecting this. V'li tameich, and even according to your reasoning, according to your reasoning, that you want to say the braisa like Rabbi Eliezer, right? Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, this question is difficult. Why? Because the braisa should allow you, the braisa should have said that you're allowed to cut the wart with your hand. Because it, even though he would admit, even Rabbi Eliezer would admit, that cutting off the wart with your hand is only an issur rabbanan, that this shinoi is only that you're doing a shinoi, and therefore it should be permitted. And so, why are they not allowing you to cut it with your hand? Why have to cut it with your teeth? So it seems the Gemara is saying here that you could ask the same question whether it's Rabbi Elazar or the Rabbanan, because you could have also said it with your hand. The fact that he says it with your teeth, he should have also made he should have said that's permitted with your hand, and that's enough of a shinoi. So the Gemara says, no. He said, no. According to Rabbi Eliezer, I understand if the Braisa is like Rabbi Eliezer, who allows you to set aside an Isser Doraisa for Machshir Ochel Nefesh. But he says the more you can change it, the better. So then I understand why he would say you shouldn't use your hand to cut off the wart. Why? Because we make a gzeira of a yad atu kli. We make a gzeira that don't use a hand to cut off your wart, because then if we allow you to do that, so then you will cut it with a kli eventually. In other words, you have to, according to Rabbi Elazar, like I said just a few minutes ago, you would have to make the change, the shinoi, as much as possible. Cutting it with your hand as opposed to your teeth is much worse than cutting with your teeth, even though both are quote unquote drabanans, they're unusual fashion. But maybe if we allow you to cut with your hand, then you will cut it then then you're going to cut it with a kli. Therefore, he requires you to cut it with your teeth. Elai amrat rabbanan he. But if you want to say the bris like rabbanan, then nishkele nihale biyad the tulamidi. Nishkele v'nihale biyad. Then basically, all you need to do is cut with your hand. There's no difference between your hand and your kli, because the hand and your teeth. Because according to rabbanan, it's simply the following qualification: is it shvus b'mikdash or not? I'm saying, is it a shvus or not? If it's a shvus, ain't shvus b'mikdash. There should be no difference between your hand and your teeth. According to Rabbi Lezer, no. The more that you can make it, unusual, the better. So therefore, since the brisa is talking about using your teeth, that's referring to Rabbi Lezer, who requires you not simply to make it unusual, but to make it as unusual as possible. Not simply to knock it down to an issa drabanan, but to make it as unusual as possible. And now the Gemara finishes, but says, v'tu lo midi. Okay, that's it. There's no more. There's no more discussion on this. Okay, there's no doubt now. So we've given many different possibilities to resolve this contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Okay, the next Mishnah says the following. So the Mishnah is talking about putting a wound with a gemi in the mikdash, with a reed on the mikdash. So here the Mishnah says the following. The Mishnah says, Kohen shaloka betzpao. It's like talking about bandaging yourself. So let's say a Kohen has a wound on his finger. He injured his finger. So you can temporarily wrap it with a reed so that your wound is not visible while you're serving in the Mikdash. So why, even though the reed heals, and the Chachamim do not allow you to do any kind of medicine other than if it's a sakana, or if your whole body is aching. So here, it's neither. So nevertheless, so since this is tzarach avoda, it's not appropriate, it's not derech eretz, that the Kohen's wound should be visible when he does the avoda. So this is a heter, ein shvus b'mikdash. So there's only a prohibition of a shvus, and we allowed it in the mikdash. Of a lo b'medina, you can't wrap a gemi outside, outside the mikdash. Im lahotzi dam kam kadaser. If you are wrapping the gemi, the reed, very tightly around your wound, so that the blood so it draws blood from the wound. So both in the medina and the mikdash is forbidden, because there's no tzarach avoda, there's no need for the avoda, and also potentially, this is an Isser Torah, because the goal is to remove blood, and that's an Isser Torah. So now we're going to discuss three halachos that rely to the avoda of the Kohanim in the Mikdash. So we're going to learn about a chatzitza, between the hand of the Kohen and the Klish and the Kalim, the impediment, a chatzitza between the body of the Kohen and his begadim, and halacha of a Kohen who wears additional begadim from the ones that he's obligated to wear. So we're going to discuss those three things. Amar, Rabbi Huda Breit Avchia, lo shanu ela gemi, aval tzilzil katan, heve yitir begadim. So a Kohen is allowed to wrap a reed around his finger, but he can't wrap a nice, beautiful belt, because that is like another garment, and like a little sash, I guess. That's like an extra garment, and then you're adding your begadim, and that's a prohibition. And that's forbidden even during the week. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo amru yitir begadim el b'makom begadim. Aval shlo makom begadim lo have a yitir begadim. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says there's only a violation of adding begadim in places where you would wear begadim. Since you don't wear begadim on your hand, so therefore you wouldn't violate anything by wearing a small sash on your finger, a garment on your finger, because that's not a place for begadim. The Gemara says, "V'tipik le'mishum chatzitza." Yeah, but maybe there's another problem. If you put a gemi, if you put a gemi or a tziltzel, a reed or a little sash on your finger, that's going to cause a chatzitza, an impediment between the hand of the kohen and the kli which is forbidden. The Gemara says, "B'small." So maybe the case is where it happened on your left hand, and the avoda is not kosher in your left hand, You're doing it with your right hand. Inami biyamin v'shal makom avoda, or maybe it's on your right hand, and it's not a place that you use for avoda, which means the bandage is not. It's in other words, it's not in the palm of the hand where you're holding the kli sharis. Maybe it's on a finger that doesn't touch the kli sharis. Upliga de Rava, and this opinion argues on Rava. The Rava or Rav Chista bimkom begadim afilu nima achas chotzetzes shelo bimkom begadim shalosha shalos chotzos. So Rava holds that let's say a Kohen has something on his flesh, he's wearing something. So if it's with your big day kahuna, the place of your big day kahuna, even if it's only like one strand, one thread, that's a chatzitza between the big day kahuna and your flesh and your skin, and your avoda is invalid. And if it's not in the place of where you're wearing the begadim, like let's say your finger, so then shalosh shalosh chotzos. If the garment that you're wearing is at least 3 by 3 fingers, then it would serve as a chatzitza, as an interposition, as in between your body, I guess. Right, that would be a psul based on an additional baguette. If it's pachlis mishalos shalos, ain't a chotzos. If it's less than 3 by 3 fingers, then it's not a violation based on additional begotten, because that's not defined as a baguette. So that goes against Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Ad Rav Yochanan, regarding Rav Yochanan, who holds that there's Rav Yochanan holds what, that the only invalidation of an extra garment is where. In the place of your body where you normally put begadim, so vade pliga. So that Rava definitely an argument. If you put a sash on your finger, is that a violation of yitur begadim or not? But now ad Rav Yehuda bar Rav Chiya minei pliga. But maybe does Rava argue on Rav Yehuda bar Rav Chiya? Rav Yehuda bar Rav Chiya holds that. Because he holds that a small sash invalidates right with because of extra begadim, even if it doesn't have a shiur of 3 by 3 fingers, right? But according to Rava, it's not a beged and it would not invalidate it. So right, you know, as we just saw Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Chiya, who said that. Any sash is a yitur begadim, whereas Rava would say, right? In other words, would Rabbi Huda braid the Rav Chiya, who said that a sash on your finger would be yitur begadim, would he say that only where it's more than 3 by 3 etzbos, 3 by 3 fingers, or would he say it even if it's less than 3 by 3 fingers? So the Gemara says that there's no proof that Rava argued in Yehuda Breid Rav Chiya, Shani Tzitzel Katan Dechashiv. It says maybe a Tzitzel Katan is different than all their begadim. That even Rava would agree that normally speaking, a garment requires 3 by 3 fingers. But a Tzitzel Katan, this small sash, even less than 3 tfachim, even less than 3 by 3 fingers, that would still passel based on Yitur begadim. Lishna Achrida. So there's another way to learn this machlokes. That Rav Chiya says that only a gemi is allowed. You know, the Kohen is allowed to put on his wound, but a tzitzel katan you can't because that's a chatzitza. Rav Yochanan Amar lo amru chatzitza bepachlus mishalosh shalosh el b'makom begadim. The Rav Yochanan says the violation of yitur begadim. They only said it when we're talking about. If it's less than 3 by 3 tfachim, only if it's in the place where your beged normally is, where you normally have a garment, but let's say on your finger, where it's not in the place of where your begadim are. So shalosh al shalosh, I'll just read to the Mishnah, shalosh al shalosh chotzos, pachos mi shalosh ein chotzos. If it's 3 by 3 fingers, it's pasul because of extra begadim. But if it's less than 3 by 3 tfachim, but 3 by 3 etzbos, it's not a chatzitza. V'hainu de Rava Rav Chista, and this is like the position of Rava who said in the name of Rav Chista. Lema Pliga Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Yechiya. Let's say that this statement of Rava, that a garment that's not 3x3 etzbos does not invalidate based on an extra garment, argues Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Yechiya. No, shiny tiltzel katan de chashiv. No, maybe Rava would agree even with a tiltzel katan, because that is a chashuv, that's an important beged, even less than 3x3 etzbos. According to Rav Yochanan, who allows you to wrap your finger with a small sash, according to that, the author of the Mishnah mentions a gemi. Why mention the tzilzul katan? Because it's more of a chiddush. This is milsa agaborcha kamash balan. The gemi masiv. He gave the example of the gemi as opposed to the tiltzel katan, the small sash. Because even though on one hand the tiltzel katan seems more of a chiddush, right? Nevertheless, he gave a typical case. Typical case when you have a bandage, you put a reed on it because that would also serve as a refuah. Okay, we will stop here.